ananda sri advaita gadadha ashasti gaurakya vindiki jay sri sri radha krishna gopi gopira shyam kunda radha kali jiri gopradan jay sri vrindavan dham jay navaratnam jay lakshmana tulsi bhakti devi jay ananda gauri vaishnava vindiki jay samavasta bhakta vindiki jay gopri vrindavan all glories to some of the devotees all glories to some of the devotees all glories to some of the devotees all glories to sri guru sri gurunga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Vinayaka Krishna Sankara Guru Nishimari Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Namaste Saraswati Devi Gopalani Vitalani Nirvishesha Sunirvati Vasaka Vishakarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Jyosti Nivar Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Krishna
Hare 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 Rama
Hare Rama 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 Rama
Tayatyam Abhivada Purusha Parichayaya Bhagavati Pravarda Mana Anuraga Bara Chuta Hidaya Saityoja Praharsha Vegatmani Udvidya mana Roma Kulaka, Kulaka, Haskancha Pravritta, Pranaya Vaspa, Niruddha Avaloka Nayan, Evam Nija, Raman Aruna, Sarana Linda, Anu Jnana, Parishita Bhakti Yogina, Parifluta, Paramahvada, Yambira Hridaya, Kadava Gada, Disha Nas, Kama Vikriya mana Bhagavat Sapayamna, Sismara. Explanation, that most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bhai, in this way engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudeva and Krishna increased more and more in the help of this heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulator duties. The hairs of his body stood on end all static bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes so much that he could not see anything. Thus, he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulated service to the Lord. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love for Krishna, a transcendental bliss of symptoms are manifest in the body. Those are symptoms of perfection arising from loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Maharaj Bharat was constantly engaged in devotional service, all the symptoms of ecstatic love were manifest in his body. Maharaj Bharat appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair in his head, which was wet from bathing 3 times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayana, whose body was composed of golden effulgence and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayana by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda. He recited the following verses. The sun rose. Predominating deity within the sun is Hur and Maya. Lord Narayana is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra Om Guru Bhuva Swa Savita Varanyam Pargo Deva Suri Mahi. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda, for instance, Deya Sadasa Vitramangala Majjavarti. Within the sun, Lord Narayana is situated in the view. Next 14. The Supreme Personality of God is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benedictions upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. According to his desire, the Lord entered this universe as the super soul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities desiring material enjoyment. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. Purport predominating deity, the sun is another expansion of Narayana, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all of the entities as a super soul and gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Pradisham, and this show I'm seated in everyone's heart. As the super soul, the Lord enters the hearts of all living entities, as stated in Brahma Samhita, Dantarastha Paramano Chayantarastham. He enters the universe and the atoms as well. In the Rig Veda, the predominating deity, the sun is worshipped by this mantra, Deya Sadasa Vitramandala Majjavarti Narayana Sarasi Jasana Sannivishta. Narayana, the sun, is lotus flower within the sun. By reciting this mantra, every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the sunshine, all plants are rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan within the sun is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri mantra or Ring mantra. Thus, in the Bhagavatam purport, it says, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Bhagavatam, and all the activities of King Bharata. So here we have another description of the activities of Bharata. That is the symptoms of his bhava. So as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, he had these sattvika bhavas, which are manifestation that starts in bhava and is complete in prema. So there are sattvika bhavas, means of course emotions which are arise not with any purpose, in the sense one doesn't think of having these symptoms or whatever. They simply happen as a result of certain reactions within the body. So they are spontaneous type of symptoms. So these are called bhavas. They arise because of deep attachment to the Lord. So therefore we have tears and quivering of the body and choking of the voice and being stunned and fainting and changing color, etc. These are the symptoms. And even these symptoms are described in nectar devotion to various degrees, from very mild and periodic to more constant and more intense, and where all of them become manifest in a continuous manner. That is considered to be most intense. So that means the love of the person is more intense. And the symptoms cannot be suppressed at that stage. In the weak stages, yes, they can be controlled and covered. In the highest stages, they cannot be suppressed and maybe continuous. So these symptoms in the highest state are manifest in persons like the gopis, who can't repress those symptoms at all, and they manifest spontaneously, continuously, and even interrupt their regular duties and consciousness, etc. So these symptoms are these are one of the bhavas that combine to make rasa. There are five factors in rasa, made up of five different bhavas. So the main bhava, of course, is the sthayibha, which means a relationship of madhurya or vatsalya or sakya or whatever. But it's not called rasa, it is just the bhava itself. But it mixes with the other bhavas and then it becomes rasa. So we may have madhurya bhava, sthayibhava. And it mixes with the sattvika bhavas and the other bhavas and then it becomes rasa. So the other bhavas, of course, are more conscious things. So anubhavas are actions a person does to express love for the Lord. For instance, the gopis may pick flowers and make garlands for the Lord. That's an anubhava, because they want to decorate the Lord. Or Mother Yasoda bathes and decorates Krishna. That's a sort of anubhava. Or he cooks for Krishna, whatever like that. Boils milk for Krishna. Sort of anubhavas. Cowherd boys have different anubhavas. They don't cook for Krishna and whatever. They play with Krishna. That's their anubhava. Or they fight with Krishna, whatever. These are their anubhavas. So each rasa or each sthayibhava has a particular type of anubhava. Some anubhavas, of course, are in common with all of them, and some are particular for the particular type of sthayibhava. These are a little more conscious things. And then, of course, there are other emotional factors called, besides the sthayibhava, which support it. That is, may act contrary to it. These are called the 33 vyabhachari bhavas, temporary bhavas, such as worry or death-like symptoms or jealousy or whatever. Like, so many, 33 of these type of things are there. They temporarily appear, then they disappear within the main bhavas. They're called vyabhachari bhavas. And then, of course, we have the vibhava. Vibhava means the basic elements for rasa. That means there must be a person who is conscious perceiving another person who is conscious. So there has to be two persons there. This is the bhava. So there is a subject and an object, one who is experiencing and one who is the object of experience. So there's the asraya, who is the subjective person experiencing the rasa, and there's the object of rasa. Say in the case of the gopis, it's Krishna. So he's the vishaya of the rasa. So this constitutes the vibhava. And in the vibhava, there is also what's called udipana. That is, the object of love has certain things which stimulate the particular sai bhava. So in Krishna, certain things, the color of Krishna, or the garland of Krishna, or the flute of Krishna, or the peacock feather of Krishna, are stimulants, or udipanasu, which invoke that particular type of love. And there's different udipanas for different bhavas. So the gopis with Madhurya Bhava will have udipanas like the peacock feather or the flute or Krishna's lips and his eyes and whatever like that. And the sound of his flute, etc. Cowherd boys may have different udipanas, such as his horn, his bugle or whatever like that, or a belt around his waist, whatever, or the rope for tying up the cows. That would be udipana. So, in this way, the various rasas also have particular stimulants for their particular type of love. So all these five factors combined together, the main one, of course, is the staiva, and that produces the particular rasa. So the satvika bhavas are part of that, even though they're not conscious elements. They simply arise. They contribute to this rasa. In one sense, they are expressions of the love, like the anubhavas, but they're not conscious expressions of the love. And they even interrupt the anubhavas, or whatever, because of their, if one faints, one cannot do one's service, for instance. Or if one has tears in the eyes, one cannot see the Lord. So the sattvika bhavas often interrupt the other bhavas. So that combination produces rasa. Begin to manifest in bhava stage. The bhava stage is preliminary to prema. It is considered to be like a ray of the sun, and prema is like the full sun. So same quality, but in a small quantity. So therefore, all the symptoms do not manifest constantly and intensely. Because one does not see the Lord all the time, one has a periodic vision of the Lord only, and therefore the symptoms occur periodically. So that was the case of Bharat. He didn't have constant symptoms, but sometimes he would manifest these various sattvika bhavas. Of course, he also had his stai bhava and his vibhavas and kamachari bhavas, anubhavas, etc. So what was his anubhavas? His anubhavas was his worship of the Supreme Lord, and his meditation on the Supreme Lord, and his offering of different items to the Supreme Lord, particularly his worshipping Vishnu in the sun. So therefore he had a dasya type of sthayi bhava, and his activities were to do service for the deity, etc. And his sattvika bhavas were this tears in his eyes or shivering, etc. Some of these manifest for this time. So he was developing his love of the Supreme Lord. And he developed the symptoms because of a perception of the Lord. But it was not completely fixed. That is only complete in prema. So therefore he was at a very advanced stage, but it wasn't a complete stage. So in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami says that one should not criticize the person in bhava bhakti because his accomplishment is very rare. Even if he has faults, one should not criticize. Just as one does not criticize the moon, even though it has spots on it. So therefore, the bhava bhakti may make a mistake, and one should not criticize him for that, because of his position. he has attained a very favorable position. By the mercy of the Lord, he has gained the Lord's mercy to get to the stage of bhava, so therefore he's very special. So we don't criticize that person. So, in other words, the person in bhava stage is not completely pure. There may be some problem, maybe some mistake or whatever. And it's only in prema that one gets that full perfection. So, here we have a description of the activities in that bhava stage. He exhibited the symptoms of Satyaka Baba. He was very enthusiastic to do his service of worshipping the Lord, etc. And in this way, his main item was to meditate upon the Supreme Lord and offer him prayers. And the prayers describe he worshipped the Lord in the sun, in the vision of Narayana. So of course we know there is a sun god, Suryadeva, and then we have the Supreme Lord. But even the sun god himself is a representative of Narayana. All the devatas are representatives of the Lord. They are called vibhutis of the Lord. Okay? So through them one can also worship the Lord if one has the proper vision. Just as the manus are also vibhutis of the Lord, and their descendants are considered empowered by the Lord to some extent. So in one sense they're non-different from the Lord as well. So they are representatives of the Supreme Lord. So if one understands this properly, then of course, then we can understand that through them one should worship the Supreme Lord. And so that is what Maharaj did. Through the sun god, then he worshipped Narayana, who is the source of the sun god, sun devata. And then he offered prayers to them, quoting from the Rig Veda, etc. So the last verse of this chapter is a prayer of that he uttered to the Supreme Lord in the sun. And he's described here as being beyond the gunas. So it's not the regular sun god who is still in the world of the material body. It is someone who is beyond that. And he is fully effulgent. As in the guy who Manta Bargo means effulgent. And he is Deva. Deva, of course, means devata, but it also means something else. It also comes from the root div. Div means one who plays. Also means one who shines, or to shine. So it means very bright. It also means one who has pastimes. So Deva can also refer to Krishna, because he has pastimes. Or to Vishnu with his pastimes, spiritual pastimes. So it means the Supreme Lord with his pastimes. In this way he described that Supreme Lord. He also described him as the creator of the material world. And he enters into the material world. So he enters in several ways, of course. One, of course, is because everything is an expansion of him anyway, even Prakriti. So Prakriti is only the Lord. Also, and of course he enters into the Lord as Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Shiradaksha Vishnu, Paramatma. He enters in that way. He also enters in as avatars. He expands himself and his lila avatars and performs pastimes within the material world. So in this way the Lord enters into the material world. But he never has contaminated. He is always beyond the modes of material nature. So why does he enter the material world, which is matter? Because of the jivas. He is there to maintain the jivas, who desire, have different desires in the material world. So he helps them fulfill their desires, even if they're material desires. In other words, even the material benefits that one gets in the material world, ultimately the result of the Supreme Lord, he's fulfilling the desires of the jiva. So, in this way, the Bharata describes the Lord as beyond the material world, but entering into the material world to facilitate the jivas. So he is not in any way contaminated by the material world, but at the same time he enters into it and uses the views and related desires. But the Lord is never touched by those desires. Rather, he is always situated in the spiritual realm. So simultaneously inside the world and outside the world. It becomes fixed in prema, in bhava and prema. Well, in sadhana it could change because it's not established in there. It becomes fixed in bhava and prema. So one sees the Lord in bhava, etc. So how is that established? That is established by sadhana. So according to our sadhana, then we get the bhava. So if we worship Vishnu in sadhana, then we attain Vishnu in bhava and prema. If we worship Krishna in bhava in sadhana, then we realize Krishna, not Vishnu. And when we get the bhava, and then in prema, it's natural. And if we worship Ramchandra in sadhana, then you would realize Ramchandra, not somebody else. So according to one sadhana, then one develops particular sthayi bhava and everything that goes with it in bhava and prema.
What if you can have this opportunity?
Well, prema is fully satisfying, so he wouldn't lament.
But when we see, usually most devotees are in sadhana level in ISKCON, and we discuss so many different pastimes of the Lord. Of Krishna, we also discuss pastimes of other expansions of the Lord. But when usually the topic comes of Madhurya Rasa and all, usually the understanding that these are very elevated topics and maybe in just read but not qualified to discuss or like that. So if sadhana level if this happens, then what I'm trying to say is that the whole focus is not on that particular rasa, although our tradition is moving towards Madhurya.
We worship Radha Krishna.
Yes.
We don't discuss Madhurya in the beginning, but how the
place go. Yeah. Well, first of all, we worship Radha Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna. So those factors are there. To get into the details of Madhurya Rasa, it requires a little higher qualification, that's all. So therefore, if one is fixed in devotion, then one can go on and appreciate the pastimes in Madhurya Rasa.
Devotees at bhava level, they exhibit such symptoms, but we... Again, the understanding is that whenever a devotee passes on, you know, there's a usual understanding that he's gone back home.
Mm-hmm.
And because you were the chanting at the last moment, and although the devotee, when he was present in the manifested body, he was not exhibiting such symptoms. And we know that only after attaining prema he goes back.
Yeah.
So how do we understand?
So that's usually the case. That usually they all have to attain that level through sadhana. There are exceptional cases of kripacity. But usually is sadhana. So when they go through many births to get to that level, and when prema is manifest, even bhava in the case of Bharata was not complete, so therefore he could not go further than the material world. So one has to come to prema level, actually.
So
then
how do we understand this when devotee is being body, you know? I mean, a devotee in good standing, and at the time of leaving the body, maybe the spiritual master is there, devotees are doing kirtan. And, but still, we cannot, in a very confirmed way, say that the devotee went back.
No, all we can say is that because he is a devotee, then it's his. He's a devotee in the next lifetime somewhere. That's all.
I think that
one
should not fight false theory. The devotee involved. The devotee involved is very rare.
Yeah.
Also, just thank the day-to-day living. We come to this, we come to the past.
Well, that is why it's said that one always has to be careful of Vaishnava aparadha. We should try to avoid that. In other words, the aparadha is unnecessarily criticized for no good reason at all. So we don't do that with anybody. I want to speak of ordinary living entities. And in the case of devotees, of course, we have to be more careful.
Prabhupada mentioned in Krishna book that devotees will get a chance to enter the pastimes of Lord Krishna in some manifest universal planets, and after that they can continue their attachment there and continue to the spiritual world. So at what level of sadhana bhakti
it's probably in the later stages of the bhava, up to prema. Then they become qualified to participate in the Lord's pastimes. As in the case of certain gopis in Krishna's pastimes, some had not completely been purified, but they were at a very high stage, therefore they were in his pastimes, and by separation from Krishna, being locked in their houses, that separation burned up the last impurities, and therefore they could meet the Lord after that. So they were at a very high stage, whatever, but then they were completely pure after the pastimes. Well, in the Bhagavatam we do have persons like Bharat, Ajamil, Prahlad, others like that, or some are Nityasiddhas also, but others who are sadhakas who actually attain perfection as well.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his manifested Leela, he was trying to give love to everybody by embracing them and giving his portion of Krishna prema to them. So a devotee by his own effort, even in sadhana, cannot attain such a high platform. He needs the mercy of the Lord, and probably like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has to be in those particular areas where the Lord or devotee is there who can give him this bhava state.
Well, it's a combination. Bhava is, of course, by several sources. One, of course, is by sadhana. We do sadhana bhakti and then we come to bhava. That doesn't mean there's no mercy, because we always have to have a devotee association. And the other, of course, is kripa siddhi. We can get the mercy of devotees and suddenly advance beyond the normal progress of sadhana, that were very quickly. In other words, as in the case of Margari, the 3 months he got bhava, so that was due to the mercy of Narada Muni. Otherwise, it would have been a slower process. But the usual is sadhana, you go through sadhana to bhava in a regulated way. A quicker way is through the kripa of the Lord directly or through a devotee. And the same goes for prema as well. Usually it comes from bhava, and bhava comes from sadhana. But then there's the quick way also, through mercy.
So,
because of
the
Well, one can ask, but one cannot demand that something. So one of the sadhanas is the prayers, lala samayi prayers, in which one longs for the Lord and his mercy, etc. So that's a type of devotional anga in sadhana bhakti, to express one's longing for the Lord and offering and getting mercy of the Lord, etc., and express one's fallen state.
It's very necessary that the person
Well, it's possible, but less likely. That's harder, obviously, because generally we are influenced by people around us, not by people from 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. The instructions are definitely there, but generally it requires somebody in person to stimulate one, as you see in the case of Narada giving mercy to Dhruva or to others, whatever, Prahlad in the womb, he gave mercy. So usually it is through a person. That's the examples we see in Bhagavatam. And these, of course, are a little exceptional persons, so it's the ordinary people.
Time again, Prabhupada emphasizes that attachment to the pure devotee of the Lord will definitely lead to progress in spiritual life. and it sympathizes that even a wife, if she gets attached to her husband, she attains the same destination. So is it directly proportional that if husbands get attached to the spiritual master who is at a very elevated state, wives will also go along because they are just serving and may not be, you know, at that same level as the
Maybe well, they always get advancement. They may not necessarily get exactly the same result because of that, but definitely because of their contribution and relationship with devotional service, they get benefit from that, so they always advance. But they may not advance to the same degree as the person who directly does the service.
But how can we define the compassionate nature of a Vaishnava if he's actually he doesn't want to go alone. He wants to take everybody who's along there. Is it a natural feeling for a Vaishnava to think that I don't want to go without taking all those people who are along with me back to Godhead?
Well, not necessarily. We find in the case of Dhruva, he had compassion for his mother, not for everybody. So it may, you know, maybe individuals may be different cases. It depends on the individual. Prahlad said, okay, we should be compassionate for all the people. He was very compassionate. So it depends on the particular person also. Well, yeah, we're not meditating on, well, obviously we're not worshipping the sun god as such, the deity, we're worshipping the Supreme Lord.
Jai.